There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. All over the world, followers of Jesus Christ are paying a huge price to follow Him.
The price for converting can be everything, but as Christ said, if you want to be His follower, you have to forsake all, including your life.
When we came back to the village after the killings, our church was burned down. My husband was killed. My son was killed.
I wanted Christians in the West to know that persecution has come to stay.
Outside, my father is not with me, but he's looking after me from heaven.
One young boy hit me on my face, always hitting me with the sticks and rods and whatever they could get hold of at that time.
I was told that if I was a Christian, then I should leave. I wept.
It is too dangerous for Christians in Baghdad. We didn't go to church because we were afraid they would blow it up. Not go to church for prayers or even go shopping. We fear to do anything.
Many Christians have been kidnapped or also beheaded.
It is written in the Quran that they must kill me and take my child. They would do it.
Mama Victor.
I heard my name being called from outside. They said they were going to kill me and my children. I asked why. All they said was, today we're going to kill you and your family.
They intimidate us. Sometimes they even write warnings to me that they will kill me.
Look at father, he is already dead. I am lying on his dead body. I said, your father is dead. He said, yes.
They handcuffed me and hoisted me above the ground by my handcuffs until my feet no longer touched the ground. And there they told me to preach. I preached the gospel that I love so much for 3 hours.
I found opposition from my husband. He started beating or harassing me to insist on the Hindu traditions, and so many troubles I faced in the initial stages of my belief and faith in the Lord.
My neighbors is not good, so they throw me in the fire.
Our calling is to suffer with them.
Brothers, we ask you to pray for us. Stand together with us now in this tense and difficult time.
After the persecution, the love of the believers for each other increased.
Through your ministry, you came to assist us, to be with us, and you minister to us in our desperate need.
We know that God is doing a wonderful job through the Canadians, and we pray for you.
My happiness and joy is so great to know that there is somebody who cares for me, who prays for me. This is an indication that I'm not alone. That there are believers with us. There is a special love in Jesus.
He gives everything that you need to pass through that persecution, and that is why I think I'm still surviving today, because my God is there.
We are one.
I wanted to start off with something a little bit different this morning. Something kind of position what we were going to be dealing with today as we come to our last real serious installment in this series we've been doing on 1 Peter. Next week, Dusty will be back and he'll be wrapping up everything for us as we finish this study. But as we come to today, I wanted you to think about what we're going to look at today in these passages, sort of as if you were to write a letter to a very good friend. And in that letter, you wanted to encourage your friend a great deal. And usually when you write a letter, as you come to the end of that letter, you want to make sure that the thing they hear last is the most important thing. So today, as we look at this passage that we're going to see from 1 Peter in chapter 5, we're going to see the last thing that Peter felt like he needed to say to these people. And it speaks loudly to us as we look at our lives and our situation and who we are in the world today and what God's doing today. The truth is, so much really does depend upon you. It's very important that you understand that. And that's something that Peter was saying to these believers and something I believe God wants us to hear and know today. It matters desperately who we are, and it matters desperately what we do in these times. And that letter is, you might come to the end of it, and you repeated, maybe consolidated, and gave a very succinct point as you finished your letter. You would want to make sure that those friends of yours understood everything that you wanted to say. And in this case, the situation is that Peter understood what was going on in the world. He had done a lot of traveling. He had been from place to place preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus. Many times at his own peril, many times seeing the peril of others and then leaving because it was not safe for him to be there, because it was safer for him to be gone. He saw a lot of persecution. He experienced a lot of suffering, and he knew what was going on in the world at large. And what he was trying to say to these people is that he understood what they were about to experience. They might not really be fully aware of it yet, but something's coming because I've seen it. And so we need to hear these words. As we think about it, as against the backdrop of the video we just saw, we use the Voice of the Martyrs ministry as an example many times because they do a great job of communicating what's going on among other believers in the world today. They're not the only ministry doing that, but they are a very effective ministry, making sure that people like you and me in America understand that our experience is not the only experience there is in following Christ in the world today. So, as we look at what we want to focus on today in this last installment of this Living Hope series, I want to cover these things that Peter says, and I want to look at some of the instructions that he wrote, and I believe that today we're going to learn some things from him about our day and our time and what God's saying to us. So here's the passage we're going to look at today. It's from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Peter wrote, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Now there's five things that I want to talk with you about this morning that I think are absolutely critical that we learn from what Peter has said. The first one is this thing that you have heard from us over and over for, I can't say, it may be for years. And that is, you and I are in a spiritual battle. We are in the middle of it. We have to wake up and realize that we don't live in the easy age that we grew up thinking we lived in. That those dreams and those ideals that we thought were going to be lasting forever are really going to be passing away. So here we are in the middle of conflict, this spiritual battle. And those of you who are in the military or have been in the military, you know this before I say it. In the war, there's conflict, huh? You go to war, you're at war. There's a battle, people are aiming for your head. It is not comfortable, it's not easy, it's not simple. There's conflict in war. Why do we live our lives as if so many times, like, there's just no big deal. What I choose doesn't matter. What I do with my money doesn't matter. What I do with my time doesn't matter. When if you're on the front line somewhere, everything is focused on the mission. And everything in you has to be dedicated to your unit, because if you're not, You won't accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish because you don't win unless everybody wins. Everybody gets there, right? The idea is everybody gets back. Everybody gets home. Folks, that's who we are. We are here together this morning, all of us gathered together so that everybody gets home. Everybody finishes and everybody makes it. We're in a battle. Unless we realize that, unless we realize there's conflict, somebody's going to get left. And that can't happen. It just can't happen. Second part of that is, obviously, trial and hardship take place in the middle of a battleground. One of the things that has just been absolutely silly, if you've looked at the media, as we have been involved in the Middle East over the last few years, is thinking that when you're engaged in a conflict of any type, somebody ain't going to die. Does that make sense to you? If you're in a conflict, there is going to be a casualty because there's an adversary. And the adversary doesn't have the same values and beliefs that you do. And their desire is to take you out. There's conflict. There's trouble. There's hardship. There are times where people who are not involved in the conflict, they end up getting pulled into it. Not because they did anything to deserve it, but because they're just convenient. Trial and hardship should be expected. On the front lines, you're prepared and you're ready for engagement. So whenever we see Peter saying, be alert, we see him telling us to be prepared, be ready. What he's telling us is, guys, you're on the front lines. You're out there. You're in the middle of the battle. You've got to live differently. Because this time is this time. It's not what it used to be. It's not what it's going to be. Today is what you have to live with. And here's where we are. We have to be awake. We have to be alert. We've got to be ready to deal with what is going on all around us. This spiritual battle that has so many fronts, you and I can't even keep up with them. And many times what we do is because we can't keep up with it, we just kind of dismiss it. We forget it. We just go on and try to live our little isolated life because it's just too huge to get our hands around. But we're still a part of the spiritual battle. We're in it, whether we like it or not. You have an aggressive enemy that is not only aggressive and bloodthirsty, but he's cunning. He's smart. He doesn't always come at you full force. I'll confess, yesterday me and the kids are watching Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Okay? There you get to see all the big bad boogie monsters. Okay? And they're coming at you and they're big and they're bad and they're mean and they're powerful. But it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it's much more subtle. So you've got this subtle and you've got this overtly horrible, terrible, frightening. Spiritual battle is like that. Sometimes it's in your face and sometimes it's under the radar. Now let's just talk about the spiritual battle for a second. We saw the backdrop of what's going on in the world. Let's talk about home. Let's talk about San Diego 3 months ago. San Diego 3 months ago. A group of people who do just what we do, meeting in homes, was told they could not meet in homes for Bible study because they had too many people and they didn't have the right ordinance to cover their meeting for Bible study. Now, that has since been reversed because it got into the press and the city council had to reverse that and say, oh, no, we didn't mean that, we're sorry. But if somebody hadn't said something, where do you think that would have gone? And that's just tiny. That's tiny. Okay? But the things we're starting to see crop up in our culture are not friendly to who you and I are. And we've got to understand that our culture is no longer friendly and happy to live in a coexistence with us because we really do believe who Jesus was. We really believe He was resurrected and we really do believe that it matters that you have faith in Him. And that your life lines up in a different way than what the rest of the world says. All of that is something we cannot ignore any longer. You just can't. So here we are in the spiritual battle. We see the subtle workings. We see the overt workings. You and I can think of probably at least 8 to 10 issues that are prominent in our culture that would point to the fact that there's a spiritual battle going on. I mean, for just a second, would you have ever thought that there would have been a time when a state in this union would have approved someone allowing someone else to help them kill themselves legally, no matter how ill they were? And then who is the one who gets to say, well, they're in their right mind and able to make a decision like that? Can you comprehend? Is that not acting like God? We are facing situations like this on a daily basis. And it's becoming more and more and more prominent and less and less and less subtle. So, we're in the middle of this battle and we can't ignore it anymore. The second thing is, you and I, we have an essential part in this battle. From this passage, we see very clearly that God has chosen you and me for this place and this time. Just like Peter was talking to the people who are reading what he wrote, he was wanting them to see that it was time for them to step up to the plate, time for them to kind of get over some things and be who God wanted them to be and needed them to be in that time. You and I have an essential part in the battle that's going on right now all around us in the world and in Savannah and in Georgia. And we are chosen by God for this time and this place. For today, for now. We are here. This is where we're supposed to take our stand. You can't continue, and I can't continue, to live our lives for ourselves. It just won't work anymore. Like I said earlier, we can't continue on in the intoxication that our lives are for ourselves anymore. The American dream is not what Christians' lives are all about. If you don't like it, send me an email. I'm big enough to handle it. But it's just true. God's not worried about you achieving the American dream. What He's concerned about is His kingdom advancing. He wants to bless you, He wants to encourage you, He wants to love on you while you're here. That's one of the reasons why He's got you here. See, if you're around here, we can love on each other, we can do all that stuff. If you remove yourself from here, we can't do that anymore. And that's a choice you make. That's why we have home groups, life groups that meet in homes, so we can build those small group relationships. We can love on each other and help each other and challenge each other. That's why we have those. So that we can do that stuff. Hands on. If you're not in a group, I encourage you to either find one or bug somebody till someone starts one. That's the kind of passion we've got to have to be the people that are going to be getting through what's coming. We can't get it. We can't get through by ourselves. It will not happen. You've got this essential part in this plan. No more of this stuff that we've been doing, playing around, playing life. It's time to focus on what God's doing. And God wants you and me to fulfill our calling. He wants us to love other people sacrificially. He wants us to be so engaging with other people, so open, that we will actually let them kind of have refrigerator privileges in our life. You know, there's probably very few people that you would allow to come into your house and open your refrigerator without permission. But we need to have more people in our lives who have that privilege. And not just people who believe in Jesus. Because that's how people learn who Jesus is they come into our homes and our community of faith and they see how we live. And they know that they can come in and open up your refrigerator door and grab a bottle of water or a piece of pizza, and no one's going to slap them on the wrist. He wants us to fulfill our calling by being the gospel as well as speaking the gospel. Being salt and light. You know, the fact is also, as we look at the fact that we have an essential part in this plan, you look at that part in the passage where Peter was talking about that there were other people in other places who already were suffering hardship just as you. Those people depend on you and me. That's one of the reasons why Voice of the Martyrs does what it does as a group, as a ministry, is because those people depend on you and me to do something to help them. They need our example, first of all. You know, as we engage in, we have to deal with the spiritual battle and the culture, they need to see us winning the battle. They need to see us not giving in. They need to see us stepping up to the plate and dealing with things that are wrong and confronting evil and doing it in the power that God gives us. That's the first thing they need to see. The second thing they need from us, not just that example, but they need our prayers. You and I, one of the very important things that we need to do is as we become aware of things like what we saw in that video, we need to be interceding for those people. And I encourage you, sometime in the morning or at night, when you're quiet and you're before God and you're with God, just listen to God and say, God, where do I need to be praying about today? Not who, but where. Is it China? Is it Indonesia? Is it Africa? Where is it today, Lord, that there are people that love You and serve You, and in order to hang on just one more day, they need me to pray for them? They need that desperately. Of course, they need our voice. That's one of the reasons why Voice of the Martyrs is called Voice of the Martyrs. It's so that people like you and me, who at this point haven't had to deal with that, can step up and say, no. In fact, you probably didn't know this. It did hit some in the media. But the 10th, I can't remember what the 10th was. I guess it was Friday. There was a huge protest in Great Britain, in London, on the part of Christians who were in Muslim countries, who had been mistreated, and the Christians and people who now had faith in Jesus, who had grown up Muslim, had instigated this protest in London because there's such a large Muslim population in London now. And they went to the embassy there to support the Christians that had been persecuted, and some had been killed. That's the kind of thing that we're called to do. We're called to be the voice for people who do not have a voice. And it doesn't just mean that you do that for people who are overseas. It means sometimes you may end up finding somebody in your neighborhood, or you might find somebody on the streets in Savannah, and they need a voice. And you take it upon yourself to be their voice. Not only that, they need your help. Sometimes they just need you to help them. Do something. Do something with them or for them. But and if they're going to make it through the battle and they're not going to get left behind, it means we have to actually touch them. Or give something to them. Do something with them. Whatever. Third thing here, you're not a victim. As we look at what Peter's saying, he's saying, look, there's people all over the world who are suffering for Jesus' sake. Get over the pity party. Stop complaining and moaning and pouting and saying, oh, my rights are violated. You're in a battle. There's enemies. They're shooting at you. What do you expect? We keep acting like it's a big deal every time somebody steps on a Christian's toes. It's reality. It's part of the package. It just comes with the territory. You know, warfare again is violent. Others have suffered so much more than us. But the reality is, Peter tells us that you and I have the ability and we've been given the resources to resist the enemy successfully. We have what we need. We're not underfunded. We have more than what we need. Not only because the Spirit of God lives in us, but because God's given us to each other. And we have one another to encourage and help each other. Fourth thing this morning, you're not alone. Talked a little bit about this already, but I really do want to drive home the fact that you and I cannot be persuaded that our sacrifice or our difficulty is isolated from other people. It really is a part of the big picture. Whatever you and I may encounter as persecution for the fact that we know and love Jesus in the future, we can't get our eyes stuck there and act like it doesn't happen to anybody else or that it's not already going on. It is. The guy in the video, I thought he said it so eloquently, persecution's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. The reality is, it's really been happening for 20 centuries. But now, we think, gee, it just started. But there's a very important thing that we need to understand when we look at this idea of not being alone in the battle. And that is that when you engage in a battle with others, something happens in that group. Now, Bob and some of you guys who are in the military now, when you've been in battle and you've been in war, I only know it from the stories on TV and in movies. I know secondhand. I don't know what any of that is. But the reality is there's a camaraderie. There's a closeness. There's an intimacy that happens because you've been through that kind of thing together. And you got each other through together. There is a fellowship that comes from suffering that is shared. So what we're seeing is that the body of Jesus, just like at the beginning of that video, when someone in India hurts, we hurt. Unless we are just numb. Unless we are intoxicated with our culture. We'll understand that when a believer in China gets put in jail, we hurt. The only reason it doesn't is because we have swallowed the drug of materialism and comfort and convenience. And we don't acknowledge that somewhere else the body's hurting. That's what he's saying we can't do. Be alert. Be awake. Be ready. Pay attention to what's going on. Because you can stand against it. You can. God has not left us. He has not left you. Whatever you're coming into contact with in the future, whatever kind of persecution it might be, whatever kind of hardship, I'm telling you, if they come to put chips in our hands, I'm going to be living out in the middle of nowhere. Because they're not doing it. Not doing it to me. God's not left us. He is with us. He is in the middle of us. And it's not over. And that brings me to my fifth point that I want to share with you this morning. And that is, you and I have to keep our hearts set on the whole story. The reality is, you and I cannot get caught and emotionally stuck or even spiritually stuck in the experience of suffering. Have you ever known someone who's gone through a very traumatic event in their lives? It wasn't of their own choosing. It wasn't something they would want to happen. But it was thrust upon them. And the reality is, it's very hard to get through that. And that has changed them forever. Well, spiritually speaking, guys, we can't do that. When we get into the situations that we may face of suffering and hardship and difficulty for the sake of following Jesus, we cannot get stuck there emotionally or spiritually because it will not accomplish the purpose of God. We have to learn to do what Jesus did when he was on the cross and he forgave the people who were killing him. It's hard. It's hard. But the fact is, you see, when we focus and we get stuck on that suffering and we can't get past it even when it has passed, what we've done is we've given that event too much power in our lives, and the evil one cripples us. And God wants us to live in freedom and victory. And He doesn't want us to keep that event as the one that directs who we are and what we do. What the truth is that it's all going to be reversed. If you look at the end of that passage that Peter wrote, he said that the God who has the power is going to come back and reestablish you and restore you and give you strength. It's not over till the end of the story. If you read the devotionals I sent out earlier this week, it's like you stop in a movie. You know, you're watching a movie and you come to the highlight of the movie, and right before the resolution takes place, you quit watching the movie and you say, "Well, that sucked." And you pretend like there was no more of the movie. And you went and said, and then you started telling your friends, "This movie was awful. There was no resolution. Nothing. I didn't like it." And they say, "Well, didn't you watch the rest of the movie?" You say, "No, I didn't know there was any more to the movie." "Well, you should have just kept the little arrow going." And that's you and me when we get stuck in suffering. We don't realize the story's not over yet. It's still going, and God is going to fix it. He's going to come to you. He's going to come to me. He's going to be with us. And He's going to get us through whatever we have to face. That is His promise to you and me. He has obligated Himself. Does that mean you won't go through it? No. Does that mean you aren't going to have hardship? No. It means He will be with you, and there will be a time when He will make it right. It will be okay. It is not forever. Suffering is never forever for people who follow Jesus. Ever. And that brings me to the last thing I want to say to you. And that is just, you and I are supposed to live in the truth that Jesus is going to come back and restore us. We have to live in that truth. Because we can live in a lot of other things. We can get sidetracked. We can get drunk on power and fame and all the other things that the world has to offer. But the truth is, Jesus is coming back, and whatever we endure, it won't be too much for us. It will not. You are so important that He would use His last breath to tell you how important you are and to tell you what you're going to face and to tell you you can make it. What a blessing. What a word. Do you see it in the culture? Do you see it in the world? We are not to be afraid. Our God is in charge. Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to ask that people would hear today whatever it is You have put in their hearts. And that, Lord, they've heard from You. And Lord, if it means that it's important that they file everything else that I've said away, that's fine. I can live with that. Because Lord God, I want them to hear from You in this time. Lord, I pray that You would move us. That, Lord, we would understand the importance of our times and the importance of who You've made us to be. And that, Lord, we would not be apathetic, nor would we be lazy about our times and what we face in this day. Lord, make us alert. Help us to resist the evil one. And Lord, let us experience and know the fullness that You have for us as we are for our brothers and sisters across the world, Your body. And this morning, if there's a prayer request that God's put on your heart, I want you to go ahead and write on that card now. And for those of you who are visiting with us this morning, those cards, there's baskets up front. There's a basket in back this morning on one of those music stands. As you've filled out that card, you can just drop it in a basket. God's put something on your heart this morning. I ask you to respond in some way. Of course, there'll be time up here if you need to come and kneel. There's something going on in your life. God wants to take care of that. And He wants us to be praying for one another. So whenever we see someone come to the front, we can always be praying for one another, even if we don't come lay or kneel beside one another. Lord God, I ask you to come and do what you want to do this morning in this time of ministry. Of course, Dane will be up and around. And life group leaders, I ask you to stand up and be around praying. And if you would like to pray with somebody, we'll all be available for you. As the music team plays, you come.